Can you hear me? Hello? Hello. I feel like I'm coming in quite a lot of weakness today because my throat is not good. So hopefully we're going to be all right, but hopefully it won't dry up. But anyway, let me pray for us as we start. Lord Jesus, I thank you that we are here in your presence, and I thank you, Lord, for your glory, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Thank you for the glory that you had before the beginning of the world. And Father, we acknowledge today that we can't really add anything to your glory, Lord. It's not us, but it's you. You're the one that we're focused on. We're fixing our eyes on Jesus. And Lord, we just want to worship you and give you the praise and the thanksgiving and the honor and the glory, because worthy, you are worthy, Lord, to receive all honor. And we pray, Lord, that as we look into your words today, that this living word would shape and change us, transform us, Lord, in the power of the Holy Spirit. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So please keep your Bibles open to Luke chapter 4, and we're looking this morning at prayer ministry. And I do want to just thank you as well for last Sunday and all the celebrations around being here for 10 years. It was a real blessing, and you know, Caroline and I, we love this church family, and we're looking forward to all that God has for St. Mary's as we go forward. And part of that is really about prayer ministry. And when you think about the vision that God's given us, every person, every place saturated with God, a big part of seeing that come into operation is prayer ministry, because that's where we have that safe place to encounter God in a powerful way. And it's one of those places, just like when we worship, just like when we read our Bibles at home, which I hope we all do. I hope you've got a place where you read the Bible daily. This is the washing of the word. I hope you've got a place where you can worship the Lord and pray, and things you're praying for and so on. But I also hope that we're people who love to pray for one another. It's so important as we go forward. And this today is really about renewing our prayer team. And I remember when we arrived at St. Mary's, there wasn't actually a prayer ministry team, and we set one up, and it's gone really well. But today we feel it's right to renew it, because sometimes it's easy to take things for granted in our faith, and to sometimes not even remember that there is a prayer ministry team. And also sometimes we discount ourselves and think, well, I don't really need prayer. I mean, I wonder if I was to ask you when the last time you received prayer was. Think back. When did you last receive prayer? When did you last let somebody pray for you? When we used to go out on the streets to offer prayer ministry to the high road, we used to pray for about 20 people each time we went out, and it was great fun. We led people to Christ out there. We saw lots of things God was doing out there. I'll never forget also when we did prayer ministry here at the Christmas fair one year, and a man came in, and I was at the door, and I saw him coming out, and he had tears in his eyes. And as we got talking, he'd been a Christian for many years in another place, in another church, but he'd been prayed for at the Christmas fair. And what he was moved by was that he'd never, despite having been around church for decades, he had never been prayed for by anybody. Might have been the church tradition he was in, I don't know. But for sometimes we can go for years without being prayed for. And I believe if we do, we're missing out. And we want to be people who pray for one another, and we can receive that prayer ministry. I want St. Mary's to be a safe place for people to encounter God. My experience of prayer ministry has been that I've had lots of amazing experiences. I've had other experiences that I've learned from. I'm thinking perhaps not that way. I've certainly had many prayer ministry encounters where God has met with me in a deep way. And I was sharing, I can't remember recently, when I was at New Wine, I think it was last week, I was sharing how the Lord met with me. Even this past New Wine, I went forward for prayer, And someone brought me a word that was in season, really great word, and I needed that word. Funny thing was, someone else prayed for me at New Wine, and it wasn't that helpful. And that's why, I want to be honest, that's why we have our prayer ministry team trained, so that they can give a safe place to encounter God. We're not here to just offer advice or counseling or sort of wittering on for hours and hours in someone's ear when we're praying. We're here to help people encounter Jesus and to know the presence of God. And so that's what we're about. I would love you to experience this place of prayer. First time I ever encountered prayer ministry was when I recommitted my life to Christ as a 15-year-old in Northern Ireland. And a man prayed with me. And that was a turning point in my life, as he led me to recommit my life to the Lord and be filled with the Holy Spirit. It changed. Honestly, all these years later, I still relate to many of the things that God has done in my life back to that moment in prayer ministry, where I was led in a prayer of recommitment by a dear man. And I can think of many other examples as well of when God has met with me in the place of prayer. I received prayer last week. I responded to my own sermon last week for prayer. Most preachers are preaching to themselves. And we need to respond to our own sermons, and I did that. And I want to encourage us all today. None of us are above needing someone to pray for us. We all need prayer, and it's part of God's provision for us. And I'm excited about and expectant, really, of what God wants to do. I love praying with people. I love being prayed for. Every time I approach to pray with somebody, I always know that God is able to move in power, and I come with an expectation. This is not me. It's not my words. It's not anything. I haven't got anything for that person. But Jesus, He is the fountain of living waters. It's to the Lord Jesus that we bring people. It's to the Holy Spirit who fills and who moves in our lives. And we want to see God moving, don't we? When was the last time you felt God moving in your life? Is there any correlation between the last time you were prayed for, I wonder, or the last time you opened the scriptures, or the last time that you really let go in the place of worship or prayer, surrendering yourself to God? Friends, I believe God wants to take us much deeper than we are. Amen? How deep are you today in the things of the Spirit, in the things of God? How deep am I? God wants to take us deeper. And part of His grace towards us in leading us deeper is prayer. It's also the Word. It's also all the spiritual disciplines. But there is this place of prayer as we're focusing on today. And so I hope that we can see, as we look into this passage, God will just give us a fresh expectancy to journey together. So let's look at it together. It says in Luke chapter 4, Jesus left the synagogue and went to the home of Simon. And this is Simon, also called Peter. Simon's mother-in-law was suffering. I just want to stop there. Suffering. And Jesus met a lot of people who were suffering. He was the friend, or He was the man of sorrows, familiar with grief, the friend of sinners. Jesus spent time with people who were in need. You know, He said it's not the healthy who need a doctor, it's the sick who need a doctor. And all of us today, friends, at some point in our lives, are like Peter's mother-in-law. Now, it might be that we're sick, or it might be that we're suffering in another way, or we are weak, or we're struggling in another way. And it is common to our humanity, brothers and sisters, for us to suffer, for us to experience sickness, tiredness, perhaps to feel lost in life. Perhaps we feel low. Perhaps we're hurting over something. Or maybe we're feeling weak or fragile. Perhaps we're fearful. Perhaps we're in pain. There are so many examples. I mean, we could go on and on talking about the ways that we suffer. Like Mary's mother-in-law, she was suffering from a fever. She was sick. But really what we're looking at today is there is a place of need, a place of weakness, a place of struggle, a place of trial, a place of tears, a valley a hard place, a wilderness maybe. And it doesn't have to be dire. Sometimes it's just low grade. And sometimes we can go through months and years in that place. And God wants to meet us there. We have a Savior who is touched by our weaknesses. We have a living Lord Jesus Christ who is the Son of the living God, worthy of all honor and glory. And yet, he is also not only God, but he is human. And he is touched in every way. He was tempted while he was on earth in every point, just as we are, and yet without sin. And Jesus knows our humanity. And he knows what it is to be rejected, what it is to suffer, what it is to be betrayed, what it is to suffer at the hands of others, to be hurt, to be alone. Jesus knows our every weakness, as the wonderful hymn says, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear, what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. What peace we often forfeit, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. And friends, today, the first point I want to make is, we all need help. Amen? We all need help. None of us have got it together. None of us are sorted. None of us are so strong that we don't need anybody else. We all need help. And there's nothing wrong with that. It is not a sign of weakness to need help. It's a sign of strength and courage to admit that we need help. This is where I preached from last Sunday, from Matthew 5. Blessed are the poor in spirit, that theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Those who know they need will receive. Those who think they don't need will carry on struggling away anyway. I wonder today, are we willing to humble ourselves and say, I need help? It's part of it. Prayer ministry is wonderful. It draws us to God. It draws us to that place where we say, I need help. Sometimes we come, we're desperate. Other times we come and it's a smaller problem. Big and small problem, you know, and everything in between. And that's okay, because that's life. God knows that we lead lives that are pressured, that often are full of pain, full of struggle, full of trial and temptation and difficulty. And actually, Jesus promised that. It's not a case of being surprised at that. Jesus said we shouldn't be surprised when we face all kinds of trials and temptations and sorrows and difficulties. This is not a surprise to God or to anybody. This is life. This is sadly the world that we live in before the coming of Jesus is full of racked by sin and disease and trouble. In this world you will have trouble, but be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. That's what Jesus says. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And so we're not living for this life, because in this life, of course, we will have trouble, darkness and sickness and pain. But we are living. We're bound for another country. We're bound for the land of heaven. We're bound for glory. But that's where we are really going and heading in life, and that's the hope to which God has called us, and that's the hope that we can carry each day through the suffering, because we know this is not all there is. God is on the throne, and one day he will, whether he takes us home or he comes again, all things will be made new. So there is a Christian hope in this world of suffering. But one of the things that God loves to do is let his kingdom break in here and now, at various times and in various ways. And it's through salvation, it's through healing, it's through reconciliation, it's through peace, the peace of God, as we heard earlier, coming and breaking into our lives. There is a peace that passes understanding. There is a comfort from the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And so we have, of all people, we have hope. But a lot of that, how do we connect with that hope? And one of the best ways to connect with the fresh hope that God gives us in the midst of our trials and sorrows is that we can stand with one another in prayer and pray to our Father who is unseen but knows all of our needs before we even ask. And God, my God, will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. And so that's the God that we serve. We don't serve a God who is distant. We serve a God who is imminent. He is near. The kingdom of God is near. And we, as we repent and turn to him and believe the good news, God meets with us in this place. And so Peter's mother-in-law was suffering. And I just want to say today, all of us need at some time in life, just like she did. Our brokenness is sadly normal in the world in which we live today. And everybody needs prayer at some time or another. What's the second thing? It goes on to say, suffering from a high fever. And they asked Jesus to help her. Isn't that good? Wow. They asked Jesus to help her. So my second point is this. We can ask for help. See what a deep theologian I am. That was a joke. It's always bad if you have to announce your jokes. My deep theological points this morning are we all need help and we can ask for help. Okay? Why do I say that? Because we don't. We often try to just keep going. We try to do it in our own strength. We try to muster. You know, it's like pulling up our socks, keeping our stiff upper lip on, putting a mask on sometimes, pretending, all these things. We have this idea sometimes that the normal is to be sorted, whereas actually broken is to be normal. Sorted. I mean, do you know any sorted people, really? Honestly. Someone once said, everybody's normal till you get to know them. I don't think there are any sorted people out there that we compare ourselves with. And comparison is such a snare where we think, oh, well, they're sorted, or they're really, you know, brilliant, you know, whatever, you know. We compare ourselves and we never measure up, do we? We always think we've failed. We always think we're not good enough. And I think one of the brilliant things here in the Bible is just look at the simplicity of this here. Peter's mother is suffering, and so they ask Jesus to help. I'm sure Peter's mother could have just kept going and taken her medication and done the best she could, but they invited Jesus to help her. Sometimes we need help. Why do we resist asking for help? Maybe it's because either we're too busy or we think other people are too busy to stop and help us. Maybe we don't want to bother people. Perhaps we minimize our suffering and think, well, who, you know, my issue is not worthy of asking for help for someone else from. Perhaps we're worried that we're going to be rejected. If we ask for help, what if people don't want to help me? And that proves how unworthy I am. There can be all sorts of reasons. Sometimes we just don't feel safe to ask for help. And that is sad. But I want to say today publicly that as far as it depends on us here, as best as we can by God's grace, may this church be a safe place for people to encounter God, for people to ask for help, for people to know that it's okay to ask for help. It's not a sign that all is, you know, there's not a sign that everything's falling apart or that we feel we have to project an image of ourselves that is not real. I always have tremendous respect for people who are honest and who say what they actually are going through. I'd rather we were honest and just said, you know what, I'm really struggling at the moment. I don't know what to do. Sometimes we say, I don't even know why I'm struggling, but I just am. Or maybe we would say I'm feeling low, or maybe we'd say I'm ill, or whatever it may be. You know, I'm in a place of my own weakness this morning. I've been struggling with ill health this week, feeling a bad throat and a bit on the edge, a bit peaky. But, you know, it'd be easy for me just to sort of keep going and say, you know, but I've asked for prayer in our family. Joshua's prayed for me, which is good. I like receiving prayer ministry from the kids. Nothing wrong with that at all. We have to ask for help. And many people have never been prayed for because maybe they don't feel safe to be prayed for. And I want to encourage you to take a step. Our prayer team received training, and hopefully they can be praying in a healthy and a good way for you. And we're always learning how to do that. Some people have been hurt by prayer ministry, sadly, over the years, where it's not been done in a compassionate, godly way. But my prayer is that this will be a safe place. There's going to be no rejection or minimizing. We're not too busy. I'm not too busy. Now and again, people say to me, oh, you're so busy. You know, I always say, do you know what? I'm not. If you need something, I really want to help. And that's how we want to be as God's people. Not too busy to listen to one another. Not too busy to care and to share Jesus with one another. That's so important, because if we don't love each other, how will the world ever believe that God loves them? Because it's as we love one another that the world says, the world discovers God's love for them as well. Don't miss out on the blessing that could be yours just because you don't ask for help. It's fine. We want to pray when every time we take an opportunity for prayer, we do so with love. In Matthew chapter 14, verse 14, it talks about how Jesus had compassion. And so he healed them. It came out of a place of love. And so when we pray for one another, it comes from love. It comes from a genuine desire to see God at work in the person who's in need. It's not coming from a desire to see something spectacular. That's up to God. From our part, it comes from love. It also comes from this desire to just join in with what God's doing. Jesus said in John 5:19, I only do that which I see the Father do. And it was Jesus, when he was on his earthly ministry, he was always joining in and healing and praying and doing all these things. And he was joining in with what God was doing. And one of the privileges we get is to join in with God. What's God doing? I mean, there must be like 120 of us here now. So God is at work in us in 120 ways this morning. What's God doing in you? I want to know that. I'm excited for you. What is God doing? What's God's next step for you? What's God want to take you into? And the privilege of praying with one another, it means that we get to stand with you and pray that in. Pray for that to happen. It's exciting. You get to join in with God. And we ask in Matthew 7, verse 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Now we don't always know how God will answer prayer. How he does it, we don't always know. But we know he does answer prayer. When we ask, in some way God moves. It may not be the way you were expecting. It may not be an immediate healing. Healing can take place partially. Sometimes we don't know why healings don't happen. But I always know that when we offer prayer, God always has something that he wants to do to bless us. There's some way God has in his mind. It might be to give you his peace. It might be to give a word or just a sense of the peace of God, or God knows me or loves me, or I'm kept by his care. In some way, God can minister to us in a deep way. And that's the thing about asking for help. Ask and you will receive. I wonder today, have we asked? And part of asking is that place of prayer. And then the third and last thing is this. Because it goes on in the reading. It says, so he bent down over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And she got up at once and began to wait on them. At sunset, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sickness, and laying his hands on each of them, he healed them. Now, I want to say the final thing is this: prayer makes a difference. Just as I've just said, prayer makes a difference. It's not up to us when we pray as to how or what that difference will be. That's up to God. Only God can work miracles. Only God can save, can heal, can set free, can do these things that we need. And God does these things, but we don't click our fingers. We don't put in prayers in a slot machine and we get the answer. We come to God humbly and meekly, and God works, but he always works somehow, in some way. We want to remember, prayer is not counseling. Prayer is not therapy. Prayer is not fixing people. You know, sometimes it takes years for us to break free into some area. Or maybe sometimes I've certainly seen that it can be that someone's prayed for and they're healed and then they fall sick again. It doesn't mean that we're just fixed forevermore because we've been prayed for. It just means we're journeying with Jesus and that God will touch us in the way he wants. And we're following him, and we want in every prayer encounter to be drawn closer to him. A lot of people are confused about prayer because they think that if you pray that it's just going to be this boom answer. And we don't. That's not always our experience in prayer ministry. Sometimes it is amazing. Sometimes it isn't. God still loves us. It's okay, church. We sometimes see the miraculous in a very clear way, but often we don't. I'm going to tell you a little thing now. I have never been healed. Okay? I have often been prayed for healing. For my face? No, I'm joking. it's very funny. It's Soul Survivor. Mike Pulavachi is always goading Andy Croft, who's his good friend, and he does this prayer ministry example where he prays for Andy's face to be healed. But no. Anyway, in all seriousness, I have been prayed for a number of things. I've gone to various places where you expect God to heal, you know, like that. And actually, it's never happened. Now, do I love God any less? No. Is Jesus any less worthy? No. Jesus is still on the throne. God still loves me. It's a funny thing. I don't connect whether I get the answer to prayer I want with does God love me? He loves me, irrespective of whether I get the answer I was asking for or not, because I'm not as wise as him. I don't know. This is another deep theological point. I don't know why prayer is not always answered in the way we want. I don't have an answer, but I do have an anchor. And the anchor is Jesus. Jesus loves you and me, no matter what life throws at you. Sometimes there are miracles and sometimes there are not. But I know that there are not miracles when we don't pray. The only opportunity for them to break out is when we do. And so that's why I love still praying. And I love praying for healing for other people, even though I've never been healed. I expect God to do it. And I've seen it in other people. Sometimes, not every time. I say probably in about 7% of my prayers. Well, I'm trying to indicate it's a small number. I've seen God heal miraculously. But most of the time, not. Does that make God not faithful? No. It just means we don't understand everything. And that's another deep theological point. Friends, we want to pray for one another. And sometimes there's different types of prayer that we can pray, but they should always simply lead us to God. We can have prayer to be led to Christ, or perhaps recommitting our life to Christ, as I did, and I find that so helpful to have someone pray with me to recommit my life to Jesus all those years ago. Made a big difference. We can have prayer for healing, physical healing, inner healing, healing of emotions and different kinds of prayer. But just having somebody to pray with and talk to and so on is so important. We want to pray for healing. We want to pray for freedom from sin and from strongholds. And we want to pray, and it's a beautiful thing, as the Bible says, confess your sins to one another so that you may be healed. It's a beautiful thing when someone confesses and brings something out into the light. And there's a freedom that comes with that. We want to pray in journeying in the issues of life with people. And I always say to people, you know, if you're being prayed for and you keep taking your medication, even once you've been prayed for, keep taking that medication. And sometimes when we're prayed for, we need additional help. We might need counseling, or we might need a listener or someone to talk to, or perhaps you need to go and see your GP after you've been prayed for as well, because it's all part of God's plan and God's provision for us to step into wholeness and into that healing. The GP, the counseling, other kinds of help, just having someone to talk to can be just as healing as a prayer appointment as well. But let's expect God to move. Prayer makes a difference. And even when it's just that simple knowledge that the peace of God coming upon you. Many people in the world have never experienced the peace of the Lord. So we mustn't minimize receiving the peace of God. Are you in peace this morning? Because the Lord is, the Bible says it's a peace that passes understanding. We don't get it, but he's able to give it. Even if we're not healed physically, but we can know that peace. And so friends, today we all need renewing in prayer. I want to encourage us to ask for prayer and encourage us to receive, go on receiving from God. Go on hungry for more of him. Don't walk out those doors week by week when you need to be standing with somebody and praying over things. I don't even mind if you come back week in and week out, week in and week out for the same thing. That's okay. We'd love to pray with you. And it's an important thing to do. Amen. Amen. Can we stand and pray? And let's pray. And in preparing this message today, I just